Hey there, KCUR podcast listener. We at KCUR have a question for you. How do you describe us? Yes, us, like KCUR. What words come to mind? We can hear you thinking. Go to kcur.org/describe and actually tell us how you answer that question. That's kcur.org/describe. And thanks.
UpToDate wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777. Jackson County's legislature is more diverse and younger than it's ever been before. But last week, the legislature voted no on an ordinance that would ban conversion therapy or the practice of trying to change an individual's sexual orientation on minors. Today, we'll talk to the county executive and two legislators to learn about what they're doing to get the ordinance reconsidered by their peers, possibly as early as today. We're also getting an update on where they stand with the Jackson County Detention Center being built on Kansas City's east side. With us, Frank White is the Jackson County Executive. Frank, welcome back. Good to have you.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Jalen Anderson is a First District at-large legislator. Jalen, good to have you.
Good to be here, Steve.
Jeannie Lauer is the Fifth District legislator. Jeannie, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Last week, the county legislature failed to pass legislation that would ban the practice of conversion therapy on minors. Frank, you were involved or concerned about this. What happened here?
Well, the vote was surprising.
Very surprising.
I was surprised that we had three abstentions and not a really true vote. I'm here to support Legislator Anderson and Legislator Lauer in trying to get this 5726 passed so we can make it into law and just protect the kids in our community, the LGBTQ plus Q. Those kids need to know that they're valued. And I want to make sure everyone in Jackson County feels safe, regardless of what their race or color or their sexual orientation. Right. That's my support for Mr. Anderson on this ordinance.
Jalen Anderson, from your standpoint, what happened here?
Well, what happened is that sadly, some of my colleagues, ever since the race for chair, when myself and Chairman McGee ran against each other for chair of the legislature. It seems that there is a great divide between those two camps. Hmm. And also it seemed that there was an issue with the chair currently of the LGBTQ commission over at Kansas City. I think that it was too much personal in that aspect of this vote. It was too personal in the sense of that, well, I was mad about something. Somebody said something that I didn't like. So they voted against it. I really don't think that they, the three abstentions, actually believe in conversion therapy. I just think that politics got in the way. And if we're starting out that way, that's a very dangerous path to go down.
Jeannie Lauer, do you see it that way too?
I think there are a lot of individuals who have different agendas as to what they're thinking. I've not talked with any of them personally, but of course there's a lot at stake here with the children. And to abstain from voting, it certainly shows that there's a lack of confidence in what they're doing. And so I'm concerned about that.
What reason, Jalen, did the three legislators who abstained from this vote, what reason did they give for doing that?
They have not given a reason to me, even though before the vote, I had reached out to two of the legislators. And they never got back to me or said that they didn't want to take time to discuss that currently. Mm-hmm. No one after the vote has gotten a hold of me. I have tried to reach out, tried to be a little bit understanding, but it was a big shock, really. I mean, if you were against this, vote no. But to abstain is something that you're not even giving the legislation the respect that it should have.
The chair of the Kansas City LGBTQ Commission, Justice Horn, you've referred to him already, Jalen. He worked to get the ordinance introduced to the legislature. In a tweet after the vote, he wrote, "If you're going to abstain from a vote, don't run for office." Jeannie, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've served in the House of Representatives as well, and it certainly is our responsibility to vote for the citizens of our district. And it is our responsibility to know what that what our representation is. And I believe that it is our duty to vote in every opportunity that we have.
Frank White, what do you think of that, abstaining from this vote?
Well, you know, abstentions have been used, Steve, in the past, but they've been used mainly to count votes. But normally, let's say they ask me right away what I want to do, I might abstain. And then you see how all the votes come in, but it always comes back to you mm-hmm. for a yes or no vote. Mm-hmm. So it never goes down as a complete abstention on the issue itself.
But it did in this case, though, didn't it?
It did in this case, and I don't quite understand why. I really believe that the legislation spoke for itself. It had been held for 2 or 3 weeks. It's been taken out to the community. Everybody's had a chance to weigh in on it. And surprisingly, it was voted down. So I really believe that this is a our community needs this, and I think that we need to do everything we can this afternoon to get 5726 passed.
Jalen, I was going to say, I understand politics. I covered it for a big chunk of my career. Having said that, this ordinance involving conversion therapy affects a lot of kids, and this is an important moment for them.
Yes, it is. You know, as I stated last week, I had gone through conversion therapy myself as a child.
Explain to our listeners, what are we talking about for those who may need a definition here?
Sure. Conversion therapy is all about, well, the interesting part, conversion therapy used to be used for several different things in history. Now it's come down to really about changing someone's who they seem to be LGBTQ+. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me. They perceived that I was a part of that community when really it was an attack because I was raised by a single mom. That was the main focus. Mm-hmm. Conversion therapy, in the basis that it was used with me, I went to a private Christian school and they used Bible verses that I'd grown up with. They'd used going to hell, all those different things. And then they even resorted to hot water being poured on you or being set outside in the cold and have your arms tied down, which is something that no child
should
have to go
through. All in an attempt to do what?
To convert you to being straight, mm-hmm. if you will. And I use air quotations.
And not to be gay.
Yes. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. the whole focus of it. And this is something, I mean, let's just be honest about this, Steve. This is, you're endangering children. It's child abuse. And this is something that we should get on the books, that we should be able to take care of. And I look forward to working with, if when this gets passed, is working with the prosecutor, Jean Peters Baker, so that it can be tied in to child abuse. And we have to protect the kids. See, at the end of the day, this legislation is about protecting children.
Mm-hmm. Your one other vote I wanted to ask you about, Jalen. 6th District Legislator Sean Smith was the only no vote last Monday, but he was a co-sponsor of the legislation. Explain that to me.
You know, Steve, I talked with Legislator Smith. I tried to understand his change of heart. I will say the legislation was introduced in early February, late July, or late January. I'm sorry. July. That's funny.
you wish.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. But it had been on the books and a full discussion for the last 7 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't anything new. Mm-hmm. So Thursday before the vote, we had that public hearing that Legislator Abarca, who's the chair of the DEI committee, had. And all, you know, at that moment, he said, there are things I disagree with. And he had several different amendments. You know, I tried to understand his point. I tried to understand his concerns. But the issue is that we had over a month, nearly 2 months, to work this all out. And to wait at the very last second, I don't think was responsible. But I do respect the legislator by voting no and being able to have a conversation understanding why he voted no. Mm-hmm. It's a huge difference than just saying abstain and you don't know what they're mad about in politics and government. But when he voted no, I understand where he's coming from. And maybe we can meet somewhere in the middle.
Hmm. The ordinance is going to be reintroduced today, and I'm wondering, what are its prospects? How do you view this going forward?
I think that we can do several things today. We can try to pass it, but of course that will need 6 votes to be passed today,
5726. That's the requirement.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Since it's being introduced again.
And last week it got how many votes?
Five votes.
You're one short.
Right. Yeah. Now, if it goes to committee and goes through committee and is perfected on that same day, which perfection with all the other ordinances, everything else that has gone through committee, that next week, so it might be a 2-week or 3-week process, we can pass it with just 5 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that we can get those 5 votes. I really don't see us having the votes today. I was contacting different folks, and I just don't think we're there to actually be able to get the 6 votes today, as much as that upsets me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather us work together.
Yeah. Jeannie, in the meantime, to what extent is the inability to pass this ordinance, in your view, something of a black eye for the county legislature?
Well, certainly any time we have legislation that is getting hung up to the degree this has, this has taken 8 weeks plus to be vetted, to be processed, and going on and on with really no movement. I think that in and of itself talks about the inefficiency of the legislature.
Mm-hmm. But you think you can get maybe five votes needed to pass this thing, Jalen. Is there a prospect for 6 votes?
I will be very surprised if we get 6 votes.
Mm-hmm.
I will be very surprised. But that won't mean that Legislator Lauer and myself won't work towards it, also the county executive won't work towards it. But there were 5 with us in the beginning, and I expect those 5 to be with us again.
And you think you can pass it with 5? Why? What's the rule that would allow that to happen?
So after a piece of legislation is passed out of committee and then sent to the legislature as a whole— there's a process of ordinances going through perfection.
Okay.
So when they're first introduced and passed through committee, they're on the perfection aspect of the process of the legislature. So if we vote for that perfection, right, then the next week you can move to perfect and then move to adopt. And in that sense, it's already been perfected, right? So you can move past the point then that you need 6 votes, it moves to 5.
Okay. I got you. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you're listening to this podcast, staying informed seems like a big priority. Start your morning with Kansas City Today. This daily news podcast tells you what's going on across the KC Metro in 15 minutes or less. Like and subscribe to Kansas City Today from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
Frank, I'll ask you the same question I just asked Jeannie. To what extent, in your view, is this a black eye on the legislature that it hasn't been able to pass this thing yet?
Well, I agree with everything that's been said, Steve. It's been vetted quite well, and I really believe that the last legislative meeting, personalities got involved, and that's why you had the vote that came down the way it did.
Yeah.
Myself personally, I'm supporting 5726. That's the ordinance that I will sign. If the additional ordinance passes, then I'll probably let that go without signature, and eventually it'll turn into probably a veto situation, and hopefully I'll have enough votes for the veto not to be overturned, and then we can actually go back and try to pass what we need to pass.
And Frank is referring to what there, Jalen? I'm getting lost in some of the jargon here. Is there another ordinance flying around?
Yes, there is. There's ordinance 5628, I believe, yes. And that was introduced by Legislator Abarca. 5726, which is the ordinance that I put forward, is sponsored by me, which matches the legislation that was just killed.
Okay. And what would the other ordinance do?
It adds in problematic wording in the fact that it adds a point of free speech and also saying that the county executive, the county administration has to tell those who might be practicing conversion therapy that this bill has gone into effect and, you know, be prepared by this certain date because what you'll be doing will be illegal. Now, the issue there I have with this is that we don't do this with legislation. Like, I mean, if we're going to start it this way, then every piece of legislation is going to have to be talked about in this way. You know, it's really doesn't make a lot of sense in the fact that we should be going through and saying, hey, administration, figure out how we tell everybody who's doing something that is horrendous that this is going to become illegal soon.
Let me move to a different topic here while I have you guys here in the studio with me. Frank, there's been a lot of conversation around the county detention center being constructed over on the east side. Remind us what's happening there and why the county couldn't get together with the city to build a joint project here.
Well, you know, Steve, we have been in ongoing conversations with the city, and we did, and in my opinion, we were presented with 9 different options, and we came up with option 3, and the sheriff is on board with option 3, which meaning 2 separate facilities with maybe shared service, such as laundry and right. and food service, those type things. But we felt like we needed a separate facility for Kansas City, and that they can run themselves, and we can continue to run our particular facility.
In the meantime, the mayor has said if you guys work together, there could be $100 million in savings here. That's a lot of money. What do you say to that?
Well, that hasn't been presented to us at this time, Steve, so I'm not sure where that came from.
Does it make sense that building it jointly might save some money?
Well, we were actually in a joint relationship with Kansas City in our current facility, and that didn't go well for us. And
in what sense?
In what sense? Because there's a per diem. There was a per diem involved, and getting them to negotiate and make sure we keep up to date. They have more of a history of arresting more inmates with mental health issues, and that was mainly those in the in and out. They're not there for, like our state prisoners, they're not there for a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
but they cause a lot of different issues in your facility. And we just felt like from a staffing issue, we just didn't have the staff to maintain both, and there was really no help from KCPD to come in and mm-hmm. run their side of this of our facility, which we asked numerous times. So we just felt like from a county perspective, right now, see, we're probably the only city of our size in the country that doesn't have a municipal jail and a county jail. So
right.
we want to work with Kansas City to the best of our abilities, but I think we need to operate separate facilities and share services. I think that would be the best for not only our corrections folks and our inmates, plus I think it would be best for Kansas City because they will be focused a lot on mental health issues and things like that.
And that's where we're going. There are going to be separate facilities, but shared services. That's been the decision.
That's been offered.
Okay.
It hasn't been accepted, but we are at the point now in our, we've been working on this for a long time. So we're ready to move forward. We can't, if longer we wait, the more it costs us. It's been estimated we're losing almost $2 million. It's costing us almost $2 million a month as
wow.
we wait. So okay. we have to.
You got to move ahead.
We have to move, and that's on the agenda today. So hopefully it'll go to committee and then be taken up next week for passage. Hopefully everybody's on board with it. We're looking at a facility of 1,000 beds,
yeah,
which meets our current needs. We're at the $3.1 million at this point. I think we can afford that, but anything more than that would be unaffordable, and anything less than that, then the number of beds you lose would be an issue at that point.
Two other quick things. Earlier this month, UpToDate had First District Legislator Manny Abarca on the show. He said you, Frank, weren't transparent with the county budget. He also said you're almost impossible to get a hold of and you didn't show up to meetings. We wanted to give you a chance to respond to those comments. What do you say to that?
I'd say he's factually not right.
Mm.
The week that he was on your show, we had a standing appointment for 3:15 that following Friday of the same week.
Mm-hmm.
And he also went on Kraske's show and said the same thing. Well, I really think that before you can criticize someone's budget, which was balanced when he got it, you have to be here. He's only been here all, 2 months? And I have some of the best budget people in the city with Troy Schulte. 25 years in government.
Right.
We have my chief of staff is familiar with the budget. My chief administrative officer is a budget expert. And our finance guy's a budget expert. So before you criticize something that you don't quite understand, it would be better to come over and meet and talk about it. Say, where are you from a county perspective? Where are you at this point? We want to move forward. I think he has his own agenda. And I think that agenda is to create a lot of falsities because I'm probably the most available guy around. I mean, he's one to criticize us for not going to meetings and things like that, but he doesn't understand that in my position, I don't have to go to meetings. If I have another event or something that comes up, I can do those things because I have the best people at the meetings that need to be there. But there's nothing that says that I don't even have a vote. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think it's all political stuff. I mean, it's not anything factual about that at all.
The Star's Mike Hendricks had a front page story today that talked about how your son was just hired to run the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority at a salary of $275,000, Frank. Mm-hmm. This has raised eyebrows for several reasons, but one of them is that the pay is $50,000 more than the former head of the agency received after he had been on the job for 7 years. Just to close the loop on one question here, did you exert any influence to get your son hired here?
I had no idea.
Okay. Just wanted to get it on the record.
Yeah, it was it. When I did my first state of the county, he introduced me at my first state of the county, and Robbie Mackinnon, who was the head of the KCATA at that time, liked him a lot, and he hired him as a marketing person. And it sort of went from there. So it had no influence from me at all.
That's Frank White. He's the Jackson County executive. Jalen Anderson also joined us. He's the first district at large legislator in Jackson County. Jeannie Lauer is the fifth district legislator. Thank you all very much for coming in. Appreciate it. Up to Date is produced by Zach Wilson, Reginald David, Elizabeth Ruiz, Zach Perez, and Hannah Cole. Our intern is Claudia Brancart. Our announcer and engineer is Paul Nakatura. Our theme music is composed and performed by the great Bobby Watson. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.
You listen to this podcast every day because it's your KC local reliable news source. You take us seriously. But you know, we like to get down and we want you to party with us. Join us at our annual benefit Radioactive on June 14th. NPR's All Things Considered host Ari Shapiro is the featured guest at this party, and it's gonna be bumping. You gotta be there. Sponsorship packages and ticket information are available at kcur.org/radioactive.